Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
So it's just going to be a great day. We're going to continue talking about our first pillar of Dwell, the presence. Somebody say the presence. Before we jump into the message, I want to share a word the Lord gave me during when you were singing, Here Comes the Glory of the Lord. And you sang, Here Comes the Glory of the Lord sweeping in the room. The Holy Spirit said, Here comes the glory of the Lord sweeping in the womb. And I'm aware of some situations, so I'm not trying to highlight anyone, but I want to be obedient that the glory of the Lord was sweeping in the womb. That maybe there's people in this room that are trying to have children, and there's problems in your womb. But maybe not just children, dreams, vision, things that produce life. And so God was speaking specifically to children and dreams. So here comes the glory of the Lord sweeping in the womb. And then I saw Jesus almost like in an ICU unit, a baby ICU unit. And he was holding and taking care of your promise, your child, and your dreams. It was intensive care, not because you necessarily need it, but that's what he gives. He gives intensive care. And so he's holding tight your promise, your child, your dreams. And I just saw something shift today in someone's physical womb and spiritual womb today. So if that's for you, just say amen. I receive it. I receive it. If that is for you, just real quick, would you just raise your right hand just to come into agreement? Just raise your right hand and say that was for me. If someone has their hand raised next to you, just gently put your hand on their shoulder and just say, Lord, release your promise, release your children, release the dreams, release the visions, whatever it is, Lord, that they are waiting for. We thank you that you're holding the child, you're holding the promise, you're holding the dream with intensive care, intensive love, reckless love for this child, for this promise, for this dream. And we thank you, Lord, that we will see it. It's stamped with the yes of heaven. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise in the room. Because there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. Going back to my 90s Kirk Franklin days, I'm just all up in there. Whoop, whoop. So for the last few weeks, we've been handing out bookmarks. And I don't think we handed them out today, but hopefully you got one. And I have to apologize for my speech. I started these Invisalign. And so sometimes I'm just like Mr. Ed trying to eat a carrot. what is wrong with him? Blame it on the Invisalign. But as we established Dwell, Pastors David and Nicole prayed into and talked into and wrote out the vision of five pillars. And so we are in the middle of this series, actually kind of at the beginning still, talking about our five pillars: presence, principle, prayer, people, and power. Somebody say presence, say principle, say prayer, people, and power. And so Pastor David so eloquently, I can't believe I just said that with Invisalign in my mouth, so eloquently started this series on presence and talked about who we are and where we're going, and we are rebuilding the house of David. We are a people of his presence, connecting hungry hearts to the manifest presence of God. You say, what is Dwell? Number one, we are people of his presence, connecting hungry hearts to the manifest presence of God. And we lean on this scripture in Psalms 84, verses 1 through 2. It says, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out, Hungry hearts cry out. Desperate hearts cry out for the living God, because better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day. All my church kids, thousands elsewhere. That is our heart here at Dwell. We will be people of his presence, a presence center. We are rebuilding the house of David. When we have a heart that desires God, then we will want to draw near to him. We will want to be where he is because we are in love with Jesus. We are in love with his presence. And where he is and where others are gathering to be with him, we want to be there. So as believers at Dwell Church, we set a time every Sunday at 10 a.m. to come together to meet this need as a congregation, to meet with God, and we call it congregational worship. Somebody say congregational worship. So when we get together on Sundays or we get together on Wednesdays, we come together in congregational worship. Something happens when we come together. Something happens when we come together. Where two or three, Matthew 18:20 says this, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Your expectation comes in the room, and my expectation comes in the room, and their expectation comes in the room, and it builds more and more expectation, which puts more and more of a demand on heaven to meet us. I love the scripture we've talked about many times in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. "Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they," somebody say they. So we have trumpeters coming, singers coming, "and they," the singers, "lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, and his mercy endures forever.' That the house of the Lord was filled with a manifest cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house." Lord, let us see the cloud. Manifest your presence. Let us see the cloud. How many have ever seen a cloud of glory? Raise your hand. I remember the first time I legitimately saw, it wasn't just the fog machine in youth group, but it was a legit cloud of glory. I had the great opportunity to attend Lee University back in 1997 to 2001. And when I was at Lee, I traveled, played drums with a group called the Campus Choir. And our director, Dr. David Horton, he was my first spiritual father other than my earthly father. And he's gone on to be with the Lord. But I love, just like I love about you, Pastor David, I love to watch you and I love to watch him listen to the Holy Spirit. And we get in a service, and we started singing this song, and we were in what they called the Con Center. It sat about 2,000 people, and it's a theater that kind of went up and had a big balcony up there that sat a bunch of people. And we were ministering at this weekend event called Lee Day. And it's where students would come, juniors, seniors, potential freshmen that would come to Lee would come together, and we would present, each choir would present. And Dr. David Horton was so just not happy with it being a show. He really wanted to minister to the Lord. And so we started to fast that week. We started to pray that week. And we were expecting an encounter with God. We began to sing this song, "There is a fountain." Y'all, "There is a fountain. Who is the king? Victorious warrior and Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, my very own. Victorious warrior who reigns upon the throne." You know, we just sing it, and then he'd stop, and he'd go, "There it." We'd go, we'd reprise. Somebody say reprise. That's when you just do the song again and again, and he would wait. Sometimes he'd stop, and he'd wait, and the Holy Spirit would go, and he'd go. And we had to be ready, and every time we would sing it, you could feel something growing in the room. And it was like the eighth time we sang it, he stopped. And no one was out front saying, "Come on, everybody, shout, lift your hands." There was just It was like Holy Spirit was just conducting the whole room. And the shout began to rise. And I remember I was on the drums, so I just had this perspective of the whole stage and the room. And I literally heard the first shout go, and as the shout got louder and louder, I literally saw a wave of glory, like a cloud, start to come down from the balcony and fill the room. And I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? Does anybody else see this? And as it would fizzle out, the shout would come down and people still clapping, hallelujah. And all of a sudden it goes, the whole room would start roaring again, and you saw this cloud come in. It happened about 6 times. You can actually go online. I may post this link and watch the video, and you just hear, it gives me goosebumps even thinking about it, and just seeing this cloud of glory come in. But did that happen every time? No. But listen, if the cloud doesn't show up, do we still love him? Do we still pursue him? Is our love for him based on manifestations? Do we seek presence or presence? See, I'm thankful for the cloud, but I don't need the cloud to know he's good and he's God. The cloud is a benefit of his presence. But see, when the cloud entered the room, this is another perspective to look at with that scripture. The priests could not see. They were surrounded by the cloud. They could not minister because they were surrounded by the cloud. I could see them. They probably couldn't see what was in front of them, on the left of them, on the right of them. What if we had that same approach as the priests who were surrounded by the cloud, that when we came into a moment of worship, congregational worship, that we felt like there was a cloud around us and we weren't concerned about who was in front of us, who was on the left of us, who was on the right of us. If I jump, what are they going to think? If I lift my hands, what are they going to think? Just getting to a place, just like the priests, that listen, our goal is to minister to you, and I don't care who's around me, because I just want to give God what he deserves. See, we're surrounded by his presence, and we can get there through praise, and we can get there through worship. We do through music here, we do what we call praise and worship. Somebody say praise, and somebody say worship. So praise, the Israelites through Davidic times often came before the Lord with celebration and praise. There's all kind of words in the Hebrew that I'm going to attempt to pronounce. But I want to tell you what you do and why you do it. So there is a word called tehillah. Somebody say tehillah. Tehillah. This means to sing a spontaneous song, a new song unto the Lord. It's taken from Psalms 22, verse 3, where it says, he's enthroned in the praises. You'll see the word praise or bless, but it's defined as tehillah. Yeah. Somebody say tehillah. So as we sing new songs, as we jump out of the boat like Peter did, and we just start singing, and I'm singing, and I don't care who hears me. Y'all know Elf. Who's seen Elf? That's a tehillah praise. He gave Santa Claus a tehillah praise. But we come in here, and we don't give God any praise because we're so concerned about if we hit a bad note, if we say a wrong word. But listen, give him that new song, tehillah. Somebody say tehillah. Let's practice that. I'm going to give you a note right there. And everybody just start singing to the Lord. Come on, sing your song to Jesus, because he's holy. You can even take it up or take it down and say he's good and just start talking about how faithful he is and how in love with him you are, and something just starts shifting in the room. When we sing new songs to Jesus, to Jesus, to Jesus. How many felt something shift in the room right there? Woo! Come on, yeah. All right, how about this? Zamar. That means to pluck the strings, to celebrate in song and music. It's these things and these things. Even though it's electronic now, the real one uses strings. But a lot of times in church we'll say, you're 10-stringed instruments. So can we just give God a clap offering of praise? Can we just... Come on, it's not, oh, that's cute, Lord, but like, God, you're good. There's nobody like you. You're worthy of what I'm giving you right now. Put your 10-stringed instruments together and celebrate his goodness. Clap your hands, all ye people. Yeah. Toda. Somebody say toda. To give worship by the extension of the hand in adoration or agreeing with what has been said or done. You essentially are saying amen. When Pastor Nicole began to sing that, even when I don't see it, you're working, even, I was like, toda. I'm lifting my one hand, I'm extending it, coming into agreement, amen. Just lift one hand to the Lord and say, I come into agreement with your promises. Shake hands with heaven. It's a deal. It's a deal, Jesus. It's a deal. I will stand on your word. I will toda. How about this? Yada. Sound like I'm from Tennessee. Y'all down there need to. But that means to show reverence or praise with extended hands. It's when you lift both hands. Always remember when we come to congregational worship, wear deodorant. You do not want to hinder. The Bible says don't do anything to cause your brother to stumble. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Let's just be honest in the house of God. Shower, prepare yourself. Wear your undershirt so everybody sees your hands. Come on now. The hallelujah check. You got to make sure you know you're not showing everybody. But it means to, y'all though. Oh, you saw it? Oh, God, help me. Let me give the God, what is that, the alligator praise or whatever it is? That Tyrannosaurus Rex praise, about that much. God, you're worth that much. Yada, to show reverence or praise with extended hands. So literally, it's like a child running to its father, to Abba Father, saying, pick me up. Just, God, I need you. Can we do that? Can we lift both hands? Invest some energy right now. Lift both hands. Just say, God, I need you. I do this as a sign of worship, just to say, I need you. I yada you. Another word is barak. Somebody say barak. This means to kneel or to bow or to give reverence to God as an act of adoration. David wrote this as one of the most broken places in his life. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that's within me, bless his holy name. When he was saying bless or praise there, he was saying, get low, my heart, get low, my soul. I humble myself before you in brokenness. I don't know who that's for right now, but you're welcome to just in some way, even just lean over, or you can get on your knees, or just, Lord, we barak before you. We bless your holy name. We command our soul to humble itself before you. We bow and we say, God, we need you. We get down so you can get up. We get low so you can be high above all things, Lord. We bow in reverence because you are holy. You're the perfect one. Whew, amen. Perspective changes when you're on your face. Everything shifts. The world looks different when you get on your face and say, Barak, I bow. I command my soul to bless you, to Barak you. Got a few more. We're going to keep moving here. Shabak. Somebody say Shabak. This is to address in a loud tone, loud adoration, a shout. God commands this. Now, a lot of times we'll say, shout, and y'all go, woo! And I'm just imagining the millions of Israelites going around the walls of Jericho. And he turns around and he's like, shout, for God has given us the city. Woo! And the walls came down. But I'm talking about a, yeah! And you're already looking at me like I'm foolish. That's the point. So when I count to three, I want you to shabak the Lord. Get off of the roller coaster, the woo, and lift up a warrior shout on the count of three. And let's watch something shift in our city. One, two, three. Something's breaking. Something's shifting. Woo! Yeah! Now put your hands together on that. God, you're good. I bet you. Something just shifted in your situation. I bet you your finances are going to look different after that shout. I bet you that your children are going to be different after that shout. It was a shout to you, God. Woo-hoo! So when Pastor David says, give a shout, get off the roller coaster. God has given you the city. When you're desperate, you shout different, right? When you're hungry, you shout different, right? I did hurt something, but Lord, he's a healer. One more. Halal. Somebody say halal. This is my favorite. To be clamorously foolish. To boast, to shine. All of you are like, no, I'm out. But what if, what is on the edge of our praise when God commands praise? You know, we talk a lot about Joash and Elijah and how he, in 2 Kings, I believe, he told Joash, the king, to take an arrow and shoot it out of the tower. And where it landed was a place of victory. And then he told him to take an arrow and he told him to strike the ground. And he only struck it 2-3 times. And he said, oh, if you would have struck it many times. See, on any other day, it's a normal arrow. But when the prophet commands you to do something with the arrow, then it becomes the supernatural arrow of God. So all these things we're going over, the shout, the dance, they do it in the clubs. They do it at football games. But when the word of God commands it, it then becomes the supernatural shout of God, the supernatural clap of God, the supernatural dance of God, all right? And it shifts cities. That arrow shifted the city. Your praise can shift a city. So when I count to three, we're going to give God an hallel or a hallelujah, a clamorously foolish praise. I'm talking about people standing on their heads, doing the running man, jumping jacks, standing on chairs. Did we sign waivers before we came in? But something that doesn't make sense for you. Don't try to be me because I'm already crazy. And I'll take the crazy to 15, maybe 20. With Pastor David, he's already up at 25, 30. But pushing yourself to a more clamorously foolish place. It's not about the amount, but it's about the heart. And if you're just someone that's an introvert and you're always kind of like, and if you give me one of these, I'm like, man, that is clamorously foolish for you. Remember, we're surrounded by the cloud. We're not caring who's on our left and who are. My praise is not for you. So it doesn't matter what you think. I love you, Prophet Fowler, but this isn't The Voice. I'm not trying to get you to hit a button when I give God, you know, something. You know, like, I want you. I want him. So when I count to three, I just, that thing that came to your mind when I said clamorously foolish, somebody was like, ooh, ooh. I mean, I don't know what it is. If you've got to run around the building. But when I count to three, I want you to give God the hallel, the highest praise, the thing that's going to cost you the most, every bit of your dignity, every bit of your pride, and let's see what God does in this room. Are you ready, Dwell? Remember who it's for. I don't care who hears. I don't care who sees. David said, I'll become even more undignified than this. So when I count to three, even with no music, but just right here in the presence of the Lord, let's give him a Hallel praise. One, two, three, come on. Come on, anybody got a dance? Come on. And stop. Let's give him one more barak, one more shout, or not a bow, but a shabak. Woo! You may be seated. Welcome to Dwell. We are people of his presence. And we are people without breath. It's your breath, oh God. Send your breath in my lungs so I can pour out my praise. So as you're engaging in worship, Shabak, Zamar, Toda, Yada, Halal, Barak, Tehila, Tehila. You're like, I like that praise. Oh, he said Tehila. Oh, I was about to move my membership. And there's the spirit of laughter. Just receive the joy of the Lord. So there's praise and there's worship. Praise is a sacrifice of energy. But worship is when we become the sacrifice. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You are the offering. Yeah. It's not just energy and expression, but it's God, I give you everything. Yeah. My future, my past, my heart, my mind. It's not about a ritual or a formula, but it's about the condition of the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Samuel's going to anoint the next king of Israel. He says, God says to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the, God looks at your heart. God is looking for spirit and honesty. He is seeking seekers. He is seeking seekers. John 4, 23 through 24 says that the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God, as you look over this earth, let your eyes stop here. Let your eyes stop here. Is there a right way or a wrong way to enter the presence of God? Listen, there's only God's way. We have to develop a sensitivity, everyone, Look around, look around. If you're on the back row, front row, even me here right now, we all have to develop a sensitivity to the Spirit of God in order to discern the way of God each time we gather. So here are some truths I want to give you to become more aware, to become people of His presence, to help us establish, dwell, the present center. Number one, God is omnipresent. His presence is everywhere, all the time. Number two, His presence is not a condition, but a fact. We can't produce the presence, but we can become more aware of His presence. All of us churchy people have heard this said before, man, that worship pastor really knows how to bring the presence of God. But in reality, that sounds like sorcery. That worship leader cannot produce the presence, but he can lead people into God's presence. He leads them. Our pastors lead us to Mount Zion, where the eternal tabernacle of the Lord exists. Zion. Somebody say Zion. You'll see it. It's actually Jerusalem, the city of David, Israel's kingdom. It's where Solomon rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. But it's also a spiritual kingdom. It's the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Hebrews 12:22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Psalms 132, verse 13 and 14. For the Lord has chosen Zion. Somebody say Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. He does not abide in Zion only when we praise, but He has taken permanent residence in Zion. So when we gather together, He's already there. And He will always be enthroned in Zion, even as we praise Him. Amen? So number three, it's not about God coming into our presence, but it's about us coming into His. Psalms 100, verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving. It doesn't say God enter our gates. It says enter His gates. Number four, it's not about God descending to us, but us ascending to Him. Psalms 24, verse 3, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? So, you know, we come in here and we say, man, I feel like we're having a bad worship service. Anybody ever thought that? Be honest. And like the guitar was out of tune or somebody was a little pitchy or somebody forgot the words. And we say, oh, man, we're having a bad worship service. It's not that we need the presence of God to come down, but we need to do something for our hearts and minds to come up. The problem is never with God. He's always ready. The problem every time is us. So number five, we all have a responsibility when we come together. We all have a responsibility. Jalecia, you have a responsibility. Miss Zanita, Miss Ruby, Miss Lisa. We all have a responsibility when we come together. And it's not about what we can get out of His presence. It's what we can give in His presence. We will put the main responsibility on Pastor David and Pastor Nicole as the worship leaders. And if something goes wrong, then it's their fault. The responsibility should never fall on the platform. Shouldn't the individuals of the congregation feel the responsibility too? God, charge our hearts right now to feel the weight of that, that every time we gather, not just in this room, but every time with believers, let us take our seat, let us take up responsibility and carry the weight of the pursuit. We are all active members. We are all active members of the New Testament priesthood, and we are to minister unto the Lord day and night, night and day. We must begin to accept our proper responsibility for our roles as ministers in the crowd. Yes. Yes. We're in my back row. If you're on the back row, say, yeah. Yeah. If you're on the front row, say, yeah. Yeah. If you got a mic, say, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all of our responsibilities. So, a couple of things, and I'm going to let you go here. Here are a few of your responsibilities. Number one, I have a responsibility to minister unto the Lord. Bring an individual sacrifice. Bring an offering. Some of us have become professional beggars in the courts of the King. God is not trying to grow leeches. Yes. Psalm 66, verse 2 says, make his praise glorious. I am so proud of you, Dwell Church. We know how to invest energy. It's a sacrifice. It will cost you something. David said, I would not offer God anything that doesn't cost me something. You can't wave a magic wand and guarantee a glorious service. You have to invest energy. Lavish your praise on the King. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Number two, I have a responsibility to prepare myself. Look at your neighbor and say, prepare yourself. Now point to yourself and say, prepare yourself. Listen, invest yourselves in prayer and in worship before we come together and pray and worship. Amen? Get up, spend time with the King. Show up before you show up. Pray, meditate. If you are going to go play the Super Bowl, go Cowboys. And the spirit just left the building. Those men and coaches do not stay up the night before a game, especially the Super Bowl, and hang out and do whatever they want and get up at the last minute and just run out on the field. There's preparation, there's time, there's meditation, there's rest. Rest on Saturday nights as much as you can so you can come in here with the biggest open heart possible. Yes. Get in bed sooner if you have to. Stay focused on the days before we gather, prepping and preparing for the big day. Yes. Every Sunday is a big day. Every time we gather is a big day. Do not take value away from his presence. Actions speak loud. Amen? Number three, I have a responsibility to be a prayer investor. Yeah. Invest yourselves in prayer for Pastors David and Pastor Nicole. Invest yourself in prayer for our children's ministry and our musicians and our singers and everyone that will come into this room. Be a prayer investor. Yeah. Prayer is to the believer what communication is to a marriage. It's vital. Putting our expectations into the atmosphere. Declarations build expectations, and expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. Speak what you want to see on Sundays when we gather. Listen, Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we invest ourselves in prayer, then we will have a concern for the participation in the service. And we will want to see a return on our investment. Amen? I'm almost done. They could come to the piano. I also have a responsibility to be self-motivated. We have birthed too many cheerleaders in the church. We have put people on the platform and put all the responsibility on them to say, come on, everybody, come on. Everybody lift your hands. Now shout. And I'm not saying we can't do those things as we direct and follow the river. But if you're waiting for someone to tell you to do something every time, then where's the heart behind it? Are you a robot? Program me, make me shout hallelujah. I want to be a real boy. That's giving you a heart. It's giving you a choice. And not to say we can't encourage you to do something. It's okay. But don't wait for us to tell you to do something, to do something. Do it because that's what my heart screams. You have a responsibility to be self-motivated. I used to have a dog. My Georgie girl, she was a Jack Russell. Any dog lovers in the house? I had her when I was single. Married Jocelyn and had all my kids. I had her for 14 years. She was the sweetest puppy ever. And when I would come home, she would run to the door and immediately put her little paws on me. She was a long-legged Jack Russell. And she'd put her paws on me, and I would just start rubbing her back, and she's like, but then when I'd hit her right here, she'd go, Anybody else's dog have like that spot? You're like, hey, good puppy. And they're like, ha-ha. And then you hit them. They're like, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And that sometimes that's the way we are as humans in a worship experience. We come in and we're waiting for them to sing Waymaker. When you sing Waymaker, ah, oh, there it is, Lord. I'll wait to the third song. I'm glad to be here. But when they get to that song, oh, he gets my praise now. He's worthy because they sang my song. I don't care if it's Bill Gaither. I don't care if it's Bethel. If it's giving God praise, jump in the river. Put on your big sons and daughter pants, maybe not skinny ones like mine, and be self-motivated. Come ready. Come with all of your heart. We call it a Bugatti praise. Anybody heard of a Bugatti? A really expensive car. That's all you need to know. You're like, that sounds like an Italian dish. Lasagna, Bugatti, pizza. It's a really fast, expensive car that goes 0 to 150 in 10 seconds. But some of y'all come in here like a 1976 old, beat up, rusted Volkswagen, like, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. You don't know what I've been through. I think I do. We all bring something, but just bring your best. Go 0 to 150 in 10 seconds. And the last one. Oh, let me say that scripture. I will bless the Lord at period. Number five. I can't count. I think, what did I say? Self-motivated. Okay, last one. I'm messing up my numbers. I'm sorry. You have a responsibility to bring your overflow. Y'all come up here and get all filled up and waste it through the whole week, and you come in empty every Sunday. What if you went home and got filled up all week and brought your overflow into here? Let's tip the scales a little bit, Dwell Church. Are we people of his presence, or are we just people of his presence on Sundays? You have a responsibility as a worshiper. It's every day. We have to go from a presence center to being presence centers. We're carriers of the presence. That we can walk into a room and things change, atmospheres shift. You said this, prophet. We go from thermometers to thermostats. We don't tell the temperature. We set the temperature. We bring light into the darkness because we carry his presence. And let me give you just a few points. I know I'm giving a lot of dot, dot, dot. Just put this last slide up and I'm gonna, are y'all good? Are y'all okay? Are we people of his presence? So in order to bring our overflow, it has to be an everyday walk with Jesus. The first thing I wanna encourage you to be is be aware, awareness. Awareness is where it all is. It's, remember we talked about the truths, he's omnipresent. He was already in this room before we got here. And he's gonna be here when we leave here. And he's in your car, and he's in your home, and he's in your workplace. But do you become aware of him? I love that song, Holy Spirit. Let us become more aware of his presence. Be aware that he's sitting right next to you. The other day, it's every day. Usually when I sit down, Jocelyn and the kids will hear me say it all the time. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I'm consistently giving Jesus words, saying something to him like he's with me, because that's what his word says. And so I was at Chick-fil-A. Thank God for Chick-fil-A. Eating breakfast. And I like to eat alone. Not all the time. Just some of the time. Just a time of reflection on myself and with the Lord. And the other day, as I was talking to Jesus over my eggs and bacon, I get eggs and bacon and fruit at Chick-fil-A. I just telling Jesus, I love you. Giving him an invitation. I love you. And I just felt like he was sitting, just like when they would walk with him in Eden. I felt like he was eating with me at Chick-fil-A. And I just like, Jesus, you just, I just told him, I was like, I really feel you here with me at Chick-fil-A. And it just feels awesome. And this chicken biscuit, just kidding, I didn't have one. Just, and it's just about what brings awareness is space. It starts with an invitation. Invitation. Somebody say invitation. Invitation will always breed awareness. How does that look? Your kingdom come, your will be done. When you step into work, your kingdom come, your will be done. When you step into your home, Jesus, I need you. And giving space for him to speak. It's prayer. It's prayer. Somebody say prayer. We have to turn prayer into a two-way street. Two-way street. We get so caught up in what we're going to say to Jesus when we should be caught up in what he wants to say to us. Romans 10, 17 says what? Faith comes by. Faith comes by. Have you taken time to listen to Jesus? When you sit down at Chick-fil-A, when you sit down at work, when you have an actual prayer closet, you create moments throughout the day or a time in the morning or a time at night, and you just say, Jesus, speak. And you turn off Instagram and you turn off Facebook and you turn off Netflix and you turn off Hulu because you are important, Jesus. My dad always said, you will make time for those things that are important to you. And son, there's nothing more important than Jesus. Two-way street. What is God saying? Listen, do you hear what I hear? So awareness, invitation. Second thing is faith. You have to have faith. You're not going to feel it every day, but you got to faith it every day. His word, the scriptures, his promise, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lo, I am with you always, even into the ends of the earth. Faith versus feeling. Even when you don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Because your word says you never stop. You never stop working. So Holy Spirit, even when if I don't feel you, I know you're here. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And the last thing, and I want to close with this, clean hands and a pure heart. I read that scripture earlier. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Clean hands and a pure heart. Church, what are we doing? What are we listening to? What are we watching? What are we putting into our bodies? Where are the places we going? What is the attitude of our hearts? Pride, arrogance, racism, hatred, unforgiveness. We have to have clean hands and a pure heart. Light, darkness cannot exist in the light. So who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And he's not saying you can't come in. He's just saying, come in. I want you to come in, but we've got to clean up those things. If we want to be carriers of the presence, that means we can't carry the other things. You'll smell like what you're around, right? I had hibachi last Sunday. I smelled like hibachi for 2 days. Anybody ever had Japanese hibachi? You love it till you go home, like everything smells like shrimp and chicken and fried rice. Because you were in that place, in that surrounding. And when you spend time with Jesus, you're going to smell like Jesus. When you spend time with the Father, you'll smell like the Father. My dad wears so much polo. And when he's in my car, I smell him for days. But you know what? I love it. Because I love my dad. And I love spending time with my dad. And even though he's not there, the fact that I can still smell him brings sweet memories, sweet comfort because of who my dad is. What if we smelled like our father? So that's the invitation today. We can Hillel, we can Barak, you can worship, but that doesn't mean you're a worshiper. He just wants to spend time with you. Let's work up to the Hillel. Let's work up to the Barak, but let's give him our hearts. Let's give him everything, that we would just create space, awareness, and continually give Holy Spirit invitations. Come into my meal. Come into my phone calls. Come into my conversations. And then when we get so filled up, we will bring that to this place every Sunday and imagine the glory that will fill this place. Imagine the expectations and the miracles. When miracles, signs, and wonders start happening in your school and happening in your home, imagine how they will happen here. So that's what I want to do. I just want to create a space for Holy Spirit to search your heart. Bring in awareness. This moment of space is an invitation. Where is your heart? Where is your time with the Lord? When was the last time you talked with him? Bible says, my sheep hear me and they know my voice. Do you know his voice? Take a moment. He's wanting to take you deeper, higher, wider. And whatever you feel, maybe some anxiousness or like, I can't take the quiet. Take it. Push into it. There are mysteries. There's answers. There's rewards. He is the presence. He is the reward of worship. So I just want to create a space, and however long Pastor Dave and Nicole want to allow it, you can come down to the altars. You can go on the sides. You can lay. You can sit and stare. Whatever that looks like for you, I just bless you guys today.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.